Happy New Year, friends. I hope you had a blessed holiday season as we turn our attention to a new year of life and ministry. You know, looking back on 2020, I am 100% sure that I speak for all of us when I say I'm glad that's over. Never have so many been so excited to turn the page on the year just ended. In the church calendar, today is not just the first Sunday of the calendar year, it's also Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany proper is January 6th. That officially marks the end of the Christmas season. There are 12 days of Christmas, as you probably know from the Christmas Carol. They begin December 25th, obviously. The 13th day is actually Epiphany, and that is the day that the church commemorates the visitation of the Magi, the arrival of the Magi in Bethlehem. No matter what day of the week that January 6th falls on, we always celebrate Epiphany on the first Sunday of the new year, the first Sunday of January, which I think is actually fortuitous timing. Because theologically speaking, an Epiphany is an appearance or a manifestation of the divine. On the holiday of Epiphany, we're specifically talking about the manifestation of God in Christ, and more specifically, we're referring to the manifestation of God to the Magi when they visited the baby Jesus. Since we actually focused on that particular story, which is found in Matthew's gospel just a couple of weeks ago during Advent, that's not going to be our focus for today. The more general, less theological sense of the word epiphany is a realization or a revelation or a new understanding of something. When we say that we've had an epiphany, what we mean is that we've got a new grasp on something. We mean that something has been illuminated for us in a new way. And oftentimes, epiphanies can come to us when we take the time to step back and reflect on the bigger picture. When we're intentional about looking for patterns and trends and deeper meanings in the world around us. When we step back from the details and the busyness of life to get a better sense of what it's all about. And I'm not sure if this is your experience, but for me, it's often this time of year, as one year ends and a new one begins, that I take the time to step back and reflect on this bigger picture. It's between Christmas and New Year's, always for me, when I take some time away from my normal routines and my normal responsibilities, when I have a chance to take a breath and to spend intentional time with family and friends, when I review my goals for the year that's just ended and make new goals for the year to come. That is when typically I get fresh insight or new clarity or deepened understanding, something illuminated in a new way. And hence, for me, I find it fortuitous that Epiphany Sunday and the new year coincide. A few years back, I read a simple little self-help book called One Word That Will Change Your Life. Now, admittedly, that is a pretentious title for a book. When I think of one word that has the power to change lives, I think of the opening verse of John's gospel: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is speaking about Jesus, of course, the one word that truly has the power to change lives, capital W, Word. Nonetheless, I found the practice that this simple little self-help book recommends to be helpful. And some of you may do this too. The idea is that you intentionally choose one word to kind of be an area of focus for the entire year. I've been doing this for a few years now. I choose a word. I include it in my daily prayers each morning as a reminder that this is my focus for the year. One year, my word was gratitude. Another year, my word was mindfulness. Well, you know what my word was for 2020? Optimism. Optimism is true. Every day in 2020, I opened up my prayer app on my phone. I looked and it said, your word for today is optimism. And let me tell you, my one word was severely tested in 2020. So much so that you know what my word is for 2021? Optimism. Because I think this is going to be a great year. I'm a pretty optimistic person by nature, but I'm even more so in 2021, especially after the year just ended. I believe that God has great things in store for us. And to kick off the year, we're going to turn to a scripture that is surprisingly optimistic. Now, we could read the story of the Magi from Matthew's gospel today, which is always the gospel recommended lectionary text for Epiphany or Epiphany Sunday. But as I've said, we read that a couple of weeks ago at the end of Advent. And so instead, we're going to turn to the Old Testament lectionary text for today, which is from the prophet Isaiah. I don't know about you, but when I think of optimistic passages in Scripture, the prophets do not immediately come to mind, but this truly is a remarkable passage. So we're going to read Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Listen, friends, for the word of God as it is proclaimed by God's servant, the prophet Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isaiah is a long book. Its 66 chapters rank only second to the Psalms' 150 chapters. There are 150 Psalms. Technically, each of those is a chapter, and the second most chapters in any book of the Bible is in Isaiah 66. But even by the much more accurate word count in the original Hebrew, Isaiah is still the sixth longest book in the Bible at more than 25,000 words. Scholars believe that those 66 chapters and more than 25,000 words were actually written over the course of a couple of centuries, first by the original prophet named Isaiah, and then by different authors writing in Isaiah's name to continue his thought for their particular context. The distinctions are so sharp that scholars actually divide this book into three major sections and typically refer to it as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Isaiah. So-called first Isaiah was the original work of the historic figure of that name who prophesied in the court of several of Judah's kings in the late 8th and early 7th centuries BC. A few weeks ago, on the first Sunday of Advent, we read from first Isaiah in a text that later Christian theologians interpreted to be about Jesus. More than a century after that, so-called second Isaiah prophesied in the midst of and near the end of the exile in Babylon. This was one of the most traumatic events in our faith history. Much of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, including the temple. Most of the key leaders of Jerusalem, of Judah, were taken into an exile that lasted half of a century. The exile was really an unbelievably bleak period of Israel's history. It's impossible to overstate how difficult that period was for our faith ancestors. And so 2nd Isaiah actually wrote a message of comfort, of hope to God's people. That section of Isaiah begins in the 40th chapter and begins with these words, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and then much of 2 Isaiah is in that vein. Our passage this morning is from the section that scholars refer to as 3 Isaiah, written after the exile, 3 Isaiah in general, and our passage for today in particular takes a very positive outlook. In fact, our passage for today is in a section of 3 Isaiah that exuberantly, enthusiastically offers tidings of good news, because the exile, one of the darkest periods in our faith history, was over. God's people were allowed to go home and rebuild the temple, rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild their lives in the promised land. In this beautifully metaphorical language, 3 Isaiah says that God's glory has arisen, dispelling the darkness that had covered the earth, covered their world, that the light of God's glory will shine through the rebuilt community, speaking to that restored community with this overwhelming sense of optimism. Isaiah says, "Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice." At the end of the passage, we even get a foreshadowing of those gifts of gold and frankincense, gifts that will show up in the story of the Magi, the one that we typically read on Epiphany each Sunday, each year. It's always amazing to me how the Holy Spirit works through the recommended texts of the lectionary. You know, the Revised Common Lectionary is actually a 3-year cycle of readings. There are 4 different texts that are suggested for each Sunday that we can choose from those. Every year on either Epiphany or Epiphany Sunday, as Providence would have it, the recommended Old Testament scripture is the one we just read, written to a people who had experienced this incredibly challenging season, but for whom brighter days are ahead. Now, I am not comparing, obviously, 2020 to the Babylonian exile. That would be a level of hyperbole that even preachers who are known to traffic in hyperbole from time to time should not engage in. That would be overstating the case. But I am saying that our verses this morning have a timely and optimistic word for us as we begin 2021. And for me, this new year for us here at Christ United is about 3 major themes. First, I am very excited to get back to normal very soon. Everyone on our church staff will tell you how hard it has been not seeing all of you on campus since March. All of the staff will tell you how challenging it is to provide quality programming solely online. And I could not be prouder of or more grateful for our staff, as well as all of our lay leadership and all the volunteers who have worked so creatively and diligently since March. Really, our team has done incredible work. Now, with a COVID-19 vaccine in the early stages of distribution, there is light at the end of the tunnel, thank God. Whether our return to normal is measured in weeks or in months, this too shall pass in the not-too-distant future. Now, please hear me clearly on this. The number one priority is for everyone to stay healthy and safe between now and then, whenever the return to normal will be. So everyone should continue to engage in the way that makes sense for them, whether online or in person. We will continue to follow our masking and physical distancing protocols. We'll continue to follow the policies that have kept us all safe and healthy thus far. But at some point in the not too distant future, in 2021, the sanctuary and Trinity Hall and our classrooms and the hallways will be full again. We'll be able to have big events again in person. Our terrific staff will get back to doing ministry the way we've all been trained to do ministry, and things will begin to seem way more normal than they have for the past, believe it or not, almost 10 months. I'm guessing that I speak for all of us when I say that that day cannot come soon enough. The second major theme for 2021 is about looking back on where we've been as a congregation over the past generation of ministry. We had to put on hold our original plans celebrating the 37-year tenure of my predecessor, Reverend Don Underwood, but rest assured, those plans were not canceled. Don is still on staff. He's pastor emeritus and director of donor relations. He still has a farewell sermon to preach, and we still have a party to throw in his honor. And when we do, that's going to be a wonderful celebration of where this congregation has been over the past generation, how many lives we've impacted, and how we've grown. That celebration is now planned for the fall, and you can look for details about that later this year. The third major theme for 2021 is about looking ahead to what's coming next in the next generation of ministry here at Christ United, because ours is a congregation that has always been proactive and forward-looking and bold in pursuit of our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. From the first generation of ministry at the church on Glencliff that began in the early 70s, to the bold move here to the corner of Coit and Parker in the mid-90s, to the expansion of our current facilities and the opening of this sanctuary in 2010. Throughout our history, we've always asked, what's the next thing we need to do in order to continue to grow and to continue to reach people of all ages through inspiring worship and committed Sunday school classes and other faith development groups and ministries with children and youth and adults. And of course, our work has never been just about us. Our outreach ministries here in our local community and even around the world are about challenging ourselves to partner with God in the building of the kingdom. Just a partial list includes Hotel Katrina and House on the Corner, which became the Rebuilding Faith team, and Project Hope, and the Volt Vision of Light team, and the Disaster Response team, and the Men's Service Group, and our partnership with Dooley Elementary, and our new partnership with the United Methodist Church in Honduras. I am aware that there are lots of things that I'm leaving off of that very partial list, because we have so many ministries and so many projects to which so many of you, so many of our members, devote so much of themselves. For almost five decades now, Christ United has looked ahead, innovating new ways to reach new people and new ways to serve our community and our world. In 2020, we will thankfully emerge from crisis response mode, the crisis response mode that we've been in for almost a year now. And our staff and our newly formed church council will begin the work of praying and dreaming and planning for what comes next. I have tremendous optimism about what the future holds for this family of faith, filled with gratitude for what has been, and trusting that God will reveal to us what God has in store for this place that we all love. All of which makes it fitting that we're kicking off a new year of life, a new year of ministry on Epiphany Sunday with this passage from Isaiah: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.